Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, all this week, it is Holy Week, and we are celebrating the gospel. We do that year-round, but this week we're going to try and pack in several messages about what happened, looking at what happened just before Palm Sunday, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, looking at Palm Sunday itself, then looking at Good Friday, and looking at the resurrection. If you say, you're saying the wrong thing on the wrong day, no, we already know what happened. What happened is exactly what God had promised. And so I hope these messages all week long are going to encourage you as together we meditate on the gospel.
Well, I've been really wrestling with which scripture to use. A friend of mine called me last night and he said, are you preaching tomorrow? I said, yes. He said, what do you plan to preach on? I said, I thought I'd talk about the resurrection. And he said, well, but are you going to be in the Gospels or are you going to be in the Epistles? And I said, well, I'm still praying about that. How many hours do you have? The message of the resurrection not only runs through all four Gospels, because Jesus told them what was going to happen, but it then obviously runs through the book of Acts and it runs through the epistles. And Jesus showed them, as they then bring out, the fact that it ran through the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. One of the passages that I brought up that's a real favorite of mine, and it's where we'll at least start this morning, is in Acts chapter 2. And the reason I love this so much is this portion of God's word, Peter is speaking to people shortly after the events have taken place. In Acts 2, beginning in verse 22, this is the reading of God's word. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Folks, this happened to people who had seen that Jesus did miracles. And they knew that Jesus was crucified. And now Peter is bearing witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and the supernatural events that they had just witnessed there on Pentecost were the promises of the Old Testament being fulfilled through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something where 400 years later somebody's going back and trying to construct what happened. This is contemporary account by eyewitnesses. And no one could refute them. And yet, there were people ready to kill the witnesses in order to try and stop the story. That didn't work out very well for them, did it? Because Jesus is still alive today.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
I want you to consider with me the fact that Jesus conquered death. Death could not hold him. That's a fact. That's history. The evidence is overwhelming. But then consider with me, please, what does this mean? Since Jesus conquered death, where does that leave us? Well, first of all, and there's much more than I could possibly tell you this morning. If we stayed for hours, I couldn't tell you all the consequences of that fact. But I want us to see a number of things that result from that fact, that Jesus conquered death. First of all, it means he is who he claimed to be. He is who he claimed to be. Jesus not only did what no one else had ever done, Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. Jesus said, look, in 3 days, I'm going to rise again on the third day. He told them what he was going to do and when he was going to do it, and he did it. And this validates everything else that he said about who he is. He is the promised one, the anointed one, the Messiah, HaMashiach. He is the Son of God. And when he made these claims about himself, he backed it up. Do you remember the fellow who was lowered down in front of him while he was teaching in a crowded room? It was so crowded they couldn't get in. Jesus looked at that fellow and he said, your sins are forgiven. Immediately his critics began to say, what's he doing saying his sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. Did you hear what they said? Only God can forgive sins. Jesus said, why do you say that to yourselves? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, which is invisible, no one can verify or contradict, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, to a guy who's a quadriplegic? Which is easier? Well, obviously, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Jesus says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he turned to the fellow and he said, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home. And instantly the man was healed. Jesus claimed to have the authority to forgive sins. You know why? Because he has the authority to forgive sins. He came to seek and to save the lost. In this passage in Acts, Peter is telling them, this man who did all these miracles, This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Well, what's his point? So you're in a heap of trouble. No. His point is God was working out his plan. Now, you can come and be forgiven. You who killed him can be forgiven. Jesus, hanging on the cross, had prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If you feel like your sin is so great that you couldn't possibly be reconciled to God, you're still believing the lies of your old master, the devil. Jesus came for folks like us. We're all sinners by nature. We were born in sin. The psalmist says, in sin did my mother conceive me. It comes naturally to us. Nobody has to teach their children how to sin. What we had to try and teach them was the good news of Jesus Christ, who not only forgives our sins, but transforms our lives. So, it means, the fact that Jesus conquered death means that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Secondly, it means that all the promises of God are true. All the promises of God are true. Jesus took them back into the scriptures and showed them over and over and over. This is what God said was going to happen. You can believe what God says. God always keeps his promises. All his promises are true. And you and I need to embrace that. Because not only has Jesus conquered death, but everything else that God says in his word is true. Well, you know, this thing about the virgin birth, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm too scientific for that. You're thinking like a fool. The Bible doesn't suggest that, and from time to time, you know how it goes, virgins have babies. That's not at all what it says in the scriptures. God did a miracle unique in all of human history. All God's promises are true. Don't for a moment be so bright that you think like a fool. The promises of God are true. I'll tell you something else that Jesus' resurrection means. It means that his sacrifice has been accepted by God and thereby removes all of our guilt and punishment. When Jesus said, it is finished, he used an accounting term that means the debt is paid in full. What that means is the debt is paid in full. It doesn't mean a down payment has been made. It means there's no more debt. Jesus paid it all. That's why all to him I owe. I owe him everything because he canceled my debt by paying for it with his blood, with his life. His sacrifice removes our guilt and our punishment. And what that means is there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None, absolutely none. It's all gone. The Bible says everything that stood against us was nailed to the cross. Everything. Not a lot of it, not most of it. All of it. Tell you what else it means in light of all that. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Because Jesus conquered death, which is the last enemy, we don't have to be afraid, because now even death can't harm us. Doesn't mean these bodies don't wear out. It means, big deal, I've got a better one. I don't know how I'll die or when I'll die, but I know what's going to happen when I die. Don't know when it'll be, but whenever it is, when I die, I'm going to be in the presence of the one who redeemed me. Hallelujah. And one day at the resurrection, I'm going to get a new body. It will be like his glorified body. Hallelujah. You understand? In light of that, whatever else comes, you know, what are you going to do? Kill me? You know, well, you might get sick. Well, it'll pass. No, I mean, you might get sick and die. Okay. I've been in situations where I thought I was going to die, not just because I'm a hypochondriac, but sometimes in cars. Okay? And I wasn't afraid. I wasn't nervous. Why? Because death isn't the worst thing that could happen to me. The worst thing that could happen to me is sin. That's the worst. Well, can't God forgive sin? He does forgive sin, but I don't want to do that. I would much rather die for doing the right thing than live by doing the wrong thing. Amen? So, we don't have to be afraid. We can live fearlessly. Doesn't mean we never feel fear. It means that our life is not controlled by it. We base our behavior not on what we're feeling, but based on what we know, because God speaks truth. Not only that, but because Jesus conquered death, he's alive right now. And therefore, we can know him personally. Not just know about him, we can know him. See, I knew about Jesus before I knew Jesus. And I believed what I knew about Jesus. I wasn't a skeptic. I wasn't a rebel. I wasn't someone who was saying, no, I just don't buy it. I bought it. I believed it. I even believed that Jesus had died on the cross to pay for my sins and that he had risen from the dead and that he was alive. Well, so you were a Christian, right? No, I really wasn't. Well, how can that be? Because you see, even though intellectually I believed that Jesus was alive, I didn't ever speak to him as if he was alive or look for him to speak to me as if he was alive. It was something I believed intellectually. But that's not knowing Jesus. I came to the realization one night as I lay in bed that I had never responded to him. I had never asked him to save me. And so I prayed immediately. And I asked him to forgive my sins and to save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. He didn't just forgive my sins. He saved me. Just like he promised. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He saved me. He came to live inside of me. How do you know that? Because he said so. Well, have you seen any evidence? Yes, actually I have. He's changed me, and he's still changing me. I am a work in progress. I was reminding Susan yesterday of Ruth Graham's epitaph that she wanted on her headstone. It was the wording of a sign she had seen while traveling down the highway. The sign said, and this is the gist, I didn't go back and look it up to get the exact wording, but the gist of the sign was, construction is now complete. Thank you for your patience. Perfect. I'm still a work in progress. Thank you for your patience. But one of these days, folks, when they say he's gone, the fact of the matter is, it'll just mean that construction is now complete. If you don't know Jesus, you just know about him, I can tell you what to do about that. Ask him to save you. Call out to him and say, Lord, please, I want to know you. Do you want to know him, or are you still trying to hide in the bushes like Adam and Eve were? It's no good. He sees you. He knows exactly what you're up to. He knows everything about it. And he didn't come to scold you. He came to save you. We quote John 3:16 over and over. I already did in this service. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. You know what the next verse says? For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. He's here right now. And he's speaking to you right now. And he's saying to you, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He'll do it for you. You can know him. Final point. In light of this, we all need to repent and yield everything to him because he is Lord. That was what Peter goes on to say in this passage in Acts 2. He goes on, he preaches at greater length than I even read, but his conclusion is, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Very quickly, three things that happened in those who were saved. First of all, they heard. When the people heard this, there are people who come to church week after week, year after year, and they never hear the message. It never penetrates. They never really hear it. These folks heard it. That involves the mind. But that wasn't all. When they heard it, they were cut to the heart. If you really hear the message and you are completely unmoved, you really haven't heard the message. It hasn't really penetrated. It may be familiar, you might be able to recite it, but if it doesn't strike you down deep, something's wrong. When they heard the message, they were cut to the heart. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? That's the third thing. The mind, the emotions, the will. An intellectual response to the gospel. They heard it. An emotional response to the gospel. They were cut to the quick. A volitional response to the gospel. They said, what must we do? Because you can't really hear that and be cut to the heart and feel like, well, you know, okay, that was really moving. And not realize, you need to change. There's got to be a change. What do we do if this is true? If Jesus conquered death and he is Lord, what do I need to do? We need to yield everything to him because he is Lord. We need to say, God, I'm yours. My life is no longer my own. I want you to live your life through me. Have your way, Lord. And then do what he says. He says, here's what you do. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's why we do what we do, is because Jesus Christ is Lord. And we know he is because he conquered death.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.